Today's Old Testament reading takes us far back in the Bible, to Genesis and to one of the founding figures of the biblical narrative and of the nation of Israel. In fact, it takes us back to the original Israel. Jacob, the one with the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes, was given the alternate name Israel by God himself. That's ultimately the source of the name of the nation. They are the nation of Israel because they are descendants of the man named Israel. The man who was born Jacob, son of Isaac. You know, I bet Jacob was ready for an upgrade in names. We don't take the meaning of our names very seriously anymore. We most often pick baby names based on a family connection or a respected public figure, or just because it sounds nice. But at that time and place, they put a lot of importance on the actual meaning of the name itself. And Jacob could not have been very happy with his. Look at the rest of his family. Abraham means father of many. Isaac means he laughs or he rejoices. Even Jacob's twin brother Esau just means hairy guy. But Jacob? That means heel grabber or supplanter. It makes him sound like a scheming trickster. It even makes me think of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the word that God speaks to Adam and Eve that the serpent will bite your heel. Now, the reason for his name goes back to, the birth of him and his twin brother, but it cannot have been very pleasant to bear in life. With the way he treats his father and brother and uncle, he lives up to that name, too. Now, he gets his name changed by God himself. No longer will he be heel grabber, but now he will be Israel. Now, here we might get into a little bit of linguistic trouble. The name Israel could be translated in two different ways. And, looking across various commentaries and sources and sermons and so forth, it seems like both meanings have been used over the years. Now, it's possible maybe even both are intended. It's sort of a double meaning. But the first possible translation is, he strives with God, or he contends with God. The reference being Jacob wrestling with God, and perhaps nation Israel continuing to spiritually wrestle against God throughout the centuries of the ancient kingdom. But in another translation, the one I think is actually a better fit for this context and for the whole biblical narrative, is not he strives with God, but rather God strives. God contends. In that sense, it's not Jacob who does the wrestling and the fighting. It's God who does it on Jacob's behalf. Now, as I said, linguistically, either one is possible, but I think the second one sheds a lot more light on this passage. Because when God strives, God always prevails. In this passage, Jacob's wrestling partner saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, so he then throws his hip out of joint and he wins anyway. And we see that it is indeed God who is this wrestling partner, as Jacob himself realized, because he names the place Peniel, which means the face of God. And he says, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared. He wrestles with God, and God always prevails. And so, therefore, when God strives for you and on your behalf, you will always prevail too. And so who is Israel? Well, first, as we see in this passage, first it was another name for Jacob himself. Then it was applied to all of Jacob's descendants, the whole nation of Israel and its 12 tribes. But the New Testament teaches that the true fulfillment of God's ancient promises are not the biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but those who share the faith in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The true Israel, in other words, is faithful Israel. Now, often that ancient nation lived up to its name by striving and wrestling against God. Much less often did they live up to their name through faithfulness and trust, through counting on God to do the striving and the wrestling for them against all their other enemies. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul refers to the Christian church as the Israel of God. The church is the true continuation, the true spiritual Israel, because Israel means God strives, God contends, God fights for. The church is the true Israel because the church is the place that receives Jesus. the blessings, the grace, the benefits God has provided and demonstrated through the death and resurrection of Christ. The church is the true Israel because that's who shares the faith of Abraham, the one who believes God and counts on him. And it was counted for him as righteousness with God. You know, we always want to insert ourselves into the biblical stories and to see how we fit in with what we're reading. And that's good, because the Bible certainly does have a message for us today. A message that is just as important and living and active as when it was first written thousands of years ago. The Bible is always relevant, always speaking to the present day. But we also have to be careful how we see ourselves in it and how we apply it to ourselves. I say that because I've heard some approaches and interpretations of this passage that make us into the hero, that place us into Jacob's spot. It gets turned into a message that says, be like Jacob, be the wrestler, wrestle with God, wrestle with yourself, wrestle with evil. The idea is you wrestle with God in prayer and hash things out until you get what you want. In fact, the gospel reading about the persistent widow today might make us think exactly that, that we have to keep wrestling with God in prayer until we wring out of him what it is that we really want. But I have to say, even though we're not going to get into that parable this morning, that's a misunderstanding both of this story and that one. You know, or maybe the idea is that you have to wrestle with evil and with the devil, that you have to engage in spiritual warfare against these forces of evil. By the power that God has given you in faith, you defeat him. But you still have to wrestle Satan into submission so that you're not led astray. Or even that you have to wrestle against yourself, that in times of temptation and to resist falling into sin, you wrestle against yourself. And Paul does indeed talk at times about subduing the flesh, about resisting the call of worldly things that pull you away from spiritual and godly things. In other words, it's quite easy to read the story of Jacob and start to think that the message for us is about our own wrestling against all these things in all these different ways. But if we understand Jacob's new name as God is the one who strives, God is the one who's doing the wrestling and the fighting, that helps make it much clearer. Because we are indeed in a struggle against evil and sin and so forth, but if we are the wrestler who is responsible for the victory, we're going to be in pretty sad shape at the end. Just like Jacob, we might even think we have won for a time, but in the end, we will not. If we depend on our own prowess at spiritual wrestling, it will eventually end up going bad. Now, the good news and the gospel in this passage lies in that name, Israel. You have wrestled against both God and man, Jacob is told, but now God will be the one who wrestles for you. That is certainly a gospel message. In fact, that was a central message of the preaching of the Reformation. Knowing the facts about God, the facts about Jesus, is not enough. Having faith is knowing that in Christ, God is for you. You can know all the theology and all the doctrine, but what changes lives and brings real hope and faith is knowing that those gospel promises are for you, that Jesus died for you. That's what he says the night of the Last Supper. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This is not some abstract concept of sin, some sort of cosmic, worldwide idea of a force that's been defeated. But these are specific, personal sins. Jesus didn't just defeat sin on the cross. He atoned for your sin. And so, knowing that you are part of the true Israel of God is vitally important because God fights and contends and strives on your behalf for you. So who is the real wrestler? Well, God, yes. Israel, as God contends, but more specifically, Jesus. And there's another aspect of the New Testament that emphasizes Jesus as Israel. You know, you could almost say he is the nation of Israel embodied in one person. In other words, Jesus is everything that Israel should have been all along. When the people of Israel were unfaithful and idolatrous, Jesus is faithful to God, even to death. Where the people of Israel were disobedient and sinful, Jesus lived a sinless life, obedient to his Father and the entire law. In Matthew's Gospel, his family's escape to Egypt, running away from King Herod, and the return after Herod's death, is even compared to the Exodus and in entering into the Promised Land. The message is clear, that Jesus lives up to everything Israel should have been, but wasn't. And he is our true Israel as well. He is God fighting for us, God coming down into the flesh, into the world, to fight and defeat all our enemies. On the cross, he took on death and defeated it. He took on Satan and defeated him. Throughout his life, he battled against sin and temptation, and he defeated them too. In the empty tomb, he announced that complete victory, and now, each and every day, he continues to fight for us in the grace and strength he pours out. He sends us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his holy word. He feeds us with his holy body and blood. He is the wrestler, and he is the winner. And because he is the true Israel, he is the one who fights for us. And when he wins the victory, it is our victory as well. Just as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ wins the victory for us, we are indeed like Jacob. We are given a new name and a new place in God's kingdom. We are like Jacob. We are blessed by God. We are like Jacob. We have seen the face of God, and we are saved. We rejoice this morning and every day that God is indeed God for us, that he gathers us as his people and fights on our behalf. Amen.